The Zeichen Nishmas, Abichol's father. Abichol's father has Yahrzeit today. His name is Shraga Feivel
Ben
Meir. Today is his Yahrzeit. May the Zuchus, the merit of this learning, be for him, have a Zuchus for his Neshama. May his Neshama have an Aliyah. Okay, we are up to Perek Chof, Pasik. Perek Chof, we are up to Pasik. Yud. Pasuk Yud says Evan vo Evan, Eifa vo Eifa, Toevas Hashem gam Shneihem. Okay, so it says here in the pasuk that the person has false weights. Evan means two sets of weights. You have one set of weights when the inspectors, when the IRS checks two sets of books. One set of books for the IRS, and there's another set of books for your wife. How much money you take home? What?
Your partner.
Two sets of books. An Evan and an Evan. A stone and a stone. A Eifa, a measure and a measure. Two different sets of stones, two different sets of measures. Anyone that deceives, that for the public, for the Hamainam, he appears to be honest and a man of integrity, but privately he is deceitful. He's using a different set of books, different sets of measures. So the pasuk concludes, Tevas Hashem, this is an abomination to Hashem, Gam Shnehem, both the Evan Vo'oven, the Eifa and the Eifa. Let's see the Mitzudos pasuk Yud, Evan Vo'oven, Ha'ohise, Shnei Avnei Mishkol, person that has this possession, two different sets of stones. Weight stones that he uses for weight, it's a counterbalance. Gedoilo uketana. Mares a gedoilo b'shekel b'ketana. He publicly makes believe that he's using the larger stone, and he's giving everyone more. He's giving everyone more produce, more merchandise. But b'shekel b'ketana, but privately when no one is watching, he's using the smaller weight and is charging for the larger weight. Now here the mitzvah here is something very important. What is the gam shneihem? If you want to count up all of the things in the pasuk, there are really four. There is Evan vo'oven, Eifa vo'eifa, Toyavas Hashem gam shneihem. So simply, if you would not see the mitzvah, you would say that the word shneihem goes on the Evan and the Eifa. There's the set of Avonim, and there's the set of Eifos. The set of Evan is one, the set of Eifos, which are deceitful, is two. And both of these types, they're just a poetic expression. Both of these different types of ways of deceiving people is an abomination before Hashem. But that's not the way the Mitzvah translates the words. He says, Shneihem goes on each set alone, even among the Evan. That alone, there are two stones. There's the larger stone and there is a small stone. So even the large stone, the stone that is truthful, in Hashem's eyes, even that is an abomination. Because since that large stone is being used as an instrument, as a means to deceive other people, even though it itself is good, it's of the highest quality, and when it's weighed and when it's measured and when it's actually inspected, it's found to be honest. But in Hashem's eyes, it's a to'eva because he's only using it for show. He's not using it to actually serve his customers. The accessory, exactly. So they've gam shneihem ki gam hagedoyla. It's a very interesting translation how the Mitzvah learns the word shneihem, because it's a very difficult point. I saw one of the Mepharshim says that he asked this question. There are four different items listed. So he writes there and kol shekein four. I don't really know what he means. If even two are an abomination, certainly four. It doesn't really answer the question. But according to the Mitzudos, he's coming to explain that when it says Shneihem, it's not going on the collective number of the items mentioned in the pasuk, it's going on each individual set itself. The good and the bad, even the good becomes an accessory to evil, and therefore is an abomination in Hashem's eyes. Kigam hagedoyla asuya rak l'ramos v'lodishkobo, and that serves, that is an abomination in Hashem's eyes. Okay, Rashi, there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Now there are other interpretations. There's one interesting idea I came across. I believe I saw this either in the Mamloes or in the article. I don't remember where. It's very common today. People always are saying that you can't make. There are so many laws, regulations, and taxes that if you want to make an honest living, it's impossible. If you're going to pay tax for every little thing that you do, and you're going to follow the books, you'll be a pauper. you can't survive because the government is corrupt. They say this really loud about Eretz Yisrael, that if you want to deal honestly, you want to be 100% Erlich, you want to go to the airport and declare all of your things that you're bringing into the country, you can't live. Because the way the society is set up is that the government, people argue, and I'm not saying this is true, but this is what people say. What?
It isn't true, it's a rational thing.
People say that if you're going to be 100% honest, then there's no way you're going to be able to make a living. So therefore, im ikesh tetapel, therefore I have a right. It's within my rights to go pay with cash and not pay tax. Because I'm going to pay tax, I'm supposed to pay tax, and report everything to the government, then I couldn't survive. People make that rationalization. This pasuk is coming to say that's not correct. That approach is a to'eva. Even if it may be true, even if you have a situation where the people that you're dealing with are deceitful, they're giving you a raw deal, that is not an excuse for you to also be deceitful. If they're deceitful, okay, that's their business. If you don't want to deal with them, you don't want to deal with them, so don't deal with them. But if you're going to deal with them, you have no right to use their deceit as an excuse to also be deceitful with them. And the way we interpret that is Evan is the tools of corruption that are used by the merchant. And the Ephah are the tools that are used by the consumer. In other words, when you come to buy, you bring a measure, I want to purchase a pound of sugar. So let's make believe in society was set up that the customer brings his own kalim. So when the customer comes, he brings a standard, a standard container that holds exactly 1 pound of sugar. So you figure, listen, he's ripping me off. He's charging me for sugar 25% more than he should. It's illegal what he's doing. So you know what? I'm gonna cheat him. I'm gonna have a custom made utensil.
Who decided that?
What?
Who decided that?
This is his rationalization. But let's say even if it's true, let's say make believe for argument's sake, you have a situation where it's true. You know for a fact that the merchant that's selling you is breaking the law. There are safeguards. There are whatever the situation. So let's make a make believe case just to bring out the point. There is a regulations where he's not allowed to charge more than a certain amount of money, and you know for a fact that he doesn't care. He's violating that law, and the only way I'm going to be able to purchase this merchandise from him is by paying 25% more than I really should. So he is abusing his even v'oven. He is abusing his from his side. So you know what? When I come to his store and I present my kli, my receptacle that will be used to fill up the merchandise that I purchased, I'll cheat him. I will have a custom-made utensil that holds 25% more than it really should, and it will look like everyone else's utensil, because we're going to manufacture, we're going to structure the utensil in a way that I'll be able to, it'll pass off like it's like everyone else, but really it holds 25% more, and that way I'll be able to compensate for his deception. Okay, so Evan is a reference to the tools that the merchant is using to deceive the consumer. And the consumer says, listen, it's not fair. I'm going to take the law into my own hands. And how, what will I do? He wants to rip me off, so I'll rip him off. I'll take the Ephah, I will go and bring into the store utensils, measuring utensils that will be 25% off in order to compensate for the theft, for the overcharge of that the merchant is doing. So one is so person, and I'll bring you a pasuk in Tanakh, in ikesh tetapel, with a crooked person you have to deal crookedly. You make this argument. Along comes Shlomo HaMelech and he says, you have to know what that pasuk means. The pasuk there does not mean you need to go lemaisa to go and take money. If you do this just because it's Evan v'Oven, that his weights are fraudulent, still Ephah v'Ephah, you, the consumer on your side, use measuring utensils to compensate for the fraud. Toyavas Hashem gam shenehem. You're also a crook. You're also a to'eva. One wrong does not two wrongs don't make a right.
You can't take the wrong into
your own. Right.
In there,
that's what he's saying. That what?
Once you start going down that road,
yeah,
you're going to be using that claim for others who aren't cheating you.
Exactly, right, exactly. But it's even worse, even if you're not. Even if you're not going to ever use it for anyone else but this person, let's say you know for sure, you set up a system, doesn't matter. It's still the fact that you are conducting yourself in a way that is deceitful, that is a to'eva before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just because someone is giving you a hard time does not give you the right to cheat him. That's what it says. That's a very and again, this is a very important principle today that people did. Yeah. What?
Are we saying that the law just knows? The law just knows is the correct stone.
Correct. In this example, yes.
Why can't you take it depends if it's a buyer or a seller?
Why can't you? Well, you that's a simple interpretation. According to the simple interpretation, the larger stone
is corrupted
from both the buyer and the seller. This second interpretation is totally different. It's a drush. The parashat is you have whether it's a buyer or a seller, and he has two sets of stones, a larger. Well, I mean, it all depends. Typically, if he's the seller, then the larger stone is the correct stone, and the smaller stone is the corrupt stone, because you're giving less merchandise. And if you're the buyer, then it's just the opposite. You're using your stone, just the opposite. And measure is the same thing. How much measure? How much do you want? You want a pound, so the seller has a larger pound, and then he has a smaller pound. But according to the drush, the stones represent the tools of the seller, and the measures represent the tools of the buyer. When the buyer comes, he brings his own measuring utensils. I'm taking a pound of sugar. So here it is. I'm bringing from my home a pound. There's a mark, a pound. So the seller trusts him. Oh, a pound is a pound. And the truth is, you're measuring when it's a pound, really it's the notch is a little bit higher. So, and why am I doing that? The only reason why I'm bringing into the store a measuring utensil that is corrupt is because when he originally used the Evan, when he originally measured whatever it was in his utensil, just a muscle, he was corrupt. So I'm going to compensate. You want to be corrupt? I'll also be corrupt in order to compensate. Tavas Hashem gam shenehem. Two wrongs don't make one right. It's still a corrupt derech life. And it's very common today. People are making this argument that it's not, if you want to make, I heard this many times, people, if you want to really be erluch in business, you want to be 100% on the books, every little dot you're going to report, then you're going to be on welfare. And the government doesn't want me to be on welfare. They don't want, it's not good for statistics, for the economy. So let me just cut corners. Whenever I'll collect cash, I won't report it.
You have to work for somebody else who gives you a check.
You have to work for?
Somebody
gives you a check. You got...
You're
honest, right? You put yourself in a position where there's no hanky panky. So that's saying it's not an excuse. Just because you can find fault in your employer does not give you the right to be deceitful in your conduct.
There's a rough neighborhood here. We say the following stories: somebody in the shul had some kind of issue with his car, and he was making some meetings with the insurance.
Yeah.
How can you possibly do something like this? So the guy said, well, I have insurance for the entire year. I don't use my car on Shabbos.
What?
I pay too much
for
insurance.
So that's what it says over here. That's not an excuse. That's gam shenehem. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk, yeah.
Insurance that excludes Shabbos.
Really?
Yes. Car rental. I have car rental. Yeah. That excludes Shabbos and Yom
Kippur. In Eretz Yisrael.
You have an accident.
So if there is an accident on Shabbos, let's say there's an emergency.
Let's say you park and someone hits you.
So it's
different.
But let's say there's an emergency. Person has to go, you have to go on Shabbos to the hospital.
Call the cab.
So
if you have insurance or not, if you have to go to the hospital?
No, but if you're in an accident.
It's not covered on Shabbos, no matter what, even an emergency.
I don't know.
That's a very interesting Shabbos. A person has an emergency. Emergencies happen. I remember on my block, I remember it was very clear, the person lived across the street.
Take insurance for Shabbos?
Yeah, he's saying, but it's more expensive. He's saying, I remember my block, it was many years ago, there was someone, he had an elderly father, and he lived across the street from our home, and he fell on Shabbos. He fell and he was bleeding. And this Balabas, he came to my father and he said that his father's really not in a good way. He needs my father to call Atzala. So he said, they don't know his condition and this and his doctor. It would be much more convenient for me to take him directly to the hospital and be with him instead of going without him. What are they going to do? They're going to come, they put him in the ambulance, take him away. I could do it just as good as them and better because my first gesunte hate, take him in your car, take him. So and it was a Shabbos afternoon, it was a beautiful day, a Shabbos afternoon. Everyone was out on the street. Everyone was watching, and there they see this yeshivish guy get in the car with his father, takes him into the car, and then people do what dinner and drive. And like, what in the world is going on? What is going on over here? He's driving on Shabbos. But it was sakana, that's what it is. Okay, let's go to Nesa Pasa Giralf. Gam de ma'alolov is naker noar. A child, let's read the words backwards. It's not care no nyaka. A child can recognize the way of a child, the mamal be ma'alolav in his deeds, im zach v'im yashar polo, if his actions, we'll learn this in the future tense, if he'll become one day a great person. Greatness already can be detected in the cradle. Certainly a person's midos, the way a person behaves when they're a child, that's the way they're going to behave when they're an adult. Things develop, but all of a person's character traits are already there at the time of birth. Some will tell you even before they're born, when they're in the, what? Rivka, what do you mean?
She passed the
water.
Yeah, the water rose.
No,
right, yeah. Esav
and Yaakov.
Oh, Esav and Yaakov. Very good. Vayisraitzu abanim b'kirbo. When they passed the Makalot of the Zara, Esav wanted to leave. When Yaakov passed the Beis Medrash, Yaakov wanted to leave. So, and Echanan is also saying that God, b'ma'alolov, in their actions, already Yisnakir Noah, the child is recognizable. What will become Imzach, if he will be a pure person, Im Yashar, he will be straight, follow his deeds. Okay, let's take a look over here. Possibly get off the mitzvahs. Yeah.
Nature versus nurture.
Yeah. That's what it seems. Obviously, it's all subject to interpretation. But I mean, it's saying over here that even those who say nurture, nature versus nurture, everyone agrees the person has a predisposition.
Yeah.
There's a predisposition. Maybe that's all it means over here. It could be changed. But ruba de ruba, the person already, his derech in life is already there. I know someone told me they have a child, and they want a certain thing for this child. They very much want he should go on a certain derech, whatever it is. Whatever it is, and the child's only 12 years old, and they're already planning where he's going to go for high school and the house, his whole derech, to make sure he doesn't turn out the way they don't want. And the parent told me that they're afraid it's already too late. They already see in him the netias that he wants to be just the opposite of what the parents want from him. It's already impossible. He's only 11, 12 years old. What are you talking about? It can't be. He says, no, I'm telling you, he's already brainwashed. It's already too late. Impossible. Right now he's in a school that's not the type, that's just exactly what you want. He has this yearning to do this thing, and I'm afraid it's too late. Yeah.
The zoo, and I paid it a child.
Yeah.
She said, "Why are you paying for me, child?"
11 years old. I'm an adult.
She said, "Well, your Hebrew birthday is a child." She got me. She said, "You know what?"
She got you. Your own child got you there, huh?
Child ticket.
Okay. Well, you go on the bus, right? You go on the bus, you say, bend down a little bit, stoop down, you shouldn't look too tall, you should think that you're a child, you get gone for free, go on here, fair, whatever it is. Okay, other way around also, senior citizen.
Disney World. Yeah. Measure the kid. You want the kid to be able to go on the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, you tell him to step up.
Step up.
life goes both ways.
Senior citizen. Once you get to the age of 63, you know, you have to also shrink a little bit. I'm a senior citizen. I can go on the bus half price. Okay, let's take a look at the pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzudos. What?
You gotta get a special card.
Special card. Now you have to get a special card. ID. Yeah, and that's now. Not in the old days. Yeah. Today is a whole new system. Today everything
so
is.
So only in Israel. Eight-year-old lady goes on.
Yeah.
Card.
The
senior looks and says, "You're a senior."
They still in the they give discounts for the for.
You get a monthly pass. Oh, yeah.
That's it. Yeah, Eretz Yisrael.
We are here too.
What?
Here,
well, here, it's what's half price here? Half price.
Half price during non-peak hours.
During non-peak hours. And what about peak hours?
It automatically charges the regular
amount. Oh, really? So what are peak hours? 9 to 5? 8 to 6?
Peak hours are rush hours.
Rush hours.
Uh-huh.
7 and 9
in the morning. 2 hours. Peak hours, okay, interesting. What? Here, New York City. Peak hours, the metro.
Senior citizen, you can use it.
Yeah, the only on the express bus.
You can use it. You can use it, but they'll charge you the full amount. In other words, if you use it during peak hours, it registers 2 feet.
Yeah, express bus.
Not only express bus.
It doesn't work on express.
We're off track here.
Okay.
We're seeing you.
Come, we learn all these different things. We learn about construction. Okay, pasuk yud aleph in the mitzvah. Skam the ma'olav ratzlo magam hanar b'shot gam hanar b'shem. Someone who's young in years, afi eitz yaseb ma'olav midasat. So when he does his when he behaves in ways, he does things on his own. Loi mimitzvah sanoshim milamuda. Things that are not by routine. It's not mitzvah. That's just an expression. Mitzvahs anoshem melamud. The things that a person does by routine, even though he has not yet adapted a routine, he is doing things for the very, very first time. It's not because he has been trained to do this thing. Mikol makom yuchal hu leisnaker. When you observe him, you can right away detect ulahavi suffik. Ulahavi suffik belibas meadam impalo zach v'yashar. And people can recognize and question if his deeds are pure and yashar. Ki kikaton kigadol alulim heim l'ramos ulisnaker b'masav l'bal yakiru b'yo emes. So the Mitzudas is saying something a little bit different than what I said. I said probably said more from the art scroll translation interpretation. What he's saying over here is that the Ma'amolov has a negative connotation. Ma'amolov means over here it's deceitful. A child already has a cunningness.
You don't trust him.
Exactly. He tries to cover up for. He has the Yetzirah already is in there, and already people begin to wonder. There's a suffix. Even a little child. What does a little child know from corruption? What does he know from cheating? From geneva, gzela, extortion? You'd be surprised. They know it all. They know even better than the adults. And that's what it says already, Yisnaker, not people already, that's how he's learning over here, Yisnaker, Ulohavi, Sofik, people already are going to be suspicious. Beliboys, Benei, Odan, Impaolo, Zach, Vyosha, is this really kid for real? Maybe he's faking me out. Kikikotem, Kigolim, because there's no difference in human nature, child and adult. Alulim, Him, Leramos, Lisnaker, Bemasam, Lebal, Yakibi, OMS, people and children have a tendency to deceive people, to hide their evil ways. Okay. So that's how the Mitzudas learned Pshat of the Pasuk. There's a Medrash, the Medrash says that this Pasuk refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash really learned the Pasuk the way I translated the Pasuk originally, and that is, we're not discussing over here that the Pasuk is not telling us that even a child already is deceitful. But basically, according to the Mitzudas, the Pasuk is telling you, watch out from children. Don't think that if you're dealing with a child, you can put your guard down. A child can also sell you... can sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't worry, the child also can pull one over you. Watch out. That's how the Mitzvah learns. When we start originally, I translate the past to mean that you already the tendencies of a person, their derech in life can be detected in their youth. Who was this referring to? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu vayar b'sivloisam. Moshe Rabbeinu from the very beginning when he was in the home of Paro, even though he was brought up in a culture and he was educated to be an Egyptian, and part of the culture was to hate the Jews and to subjugate them and to enslave them. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu, vayar b'sivloisam, it was part of his nature to go out and to see the suffering of the Jewish people. Vayomer l'rosho lo masak esreicha, and he saw the ish mitzri and so on and so forth, all of the various things. This is the interpretation of the Medrash. Who is the Sawidi? The words of the Medrash is in Psikta Zudrasa. Who is the person? Dam Zachyash Shari came with him, the Moshe Rabbeinu, Afal Bishoy, the Polotin Shal Paro. He was in the palace of Paro, Holach Liros, Bissivloisan Shel Yisrael. Hainu Ditlan, Hillel Oimer, Al Tifresh, Menatzibosh, Leia, Adam Roy, Bitsibu, Bitsavia, Meilach, Lebes, and Yoch of Esther, Shalom, Nashik, this goes a little further, but that's the basic idea here. Okay, let's go to Pasik Yud. They always say about, they say this about Shidduchim. Advice, I heard of a speech, interesting idea about Shidduchim. When you go on a Shidduchim, you meet a person, it's not only Shidduchim, it's true for everyone, and you come in contact with a person, you develop a relationship, and there's something that bothers you. There's a chesaron, or there's a maila. You cannot expect in any way that chesaron will go away. Not only will not go away, as a person gets older, it exaggerates. It expands, and a mila will be developed. If you can live with it, you have to make a decision now, realizing there's something that's bothering you. You have to realize it's not going to go away. That chesaron will be there for the rest of your life. Can you live with it? Good. If you're willing to live with it, very good. Don't go with unrealistic expectations that a chesaron is going to go away. It's not going to go away. In fact, not only will it not go away, as a person gets older and more stubborn, that chesaron will be magnified even greater.
People don't change.
Where? Right, people don't change. That's what it says. It says here, Gam b'mam alav yisnak enoar. Right away from the very beginning, it's noticeable, you have to project this character trait. This derech is going to continue from the time of Noar, youth, all the way to the very, very end, and it's going to just get greater and greater. Is it a problem? If it's a problem, then that's it. Then don't enter into the situation. If it's not a problem, then fine. Everything, when it comes,
that's
also...
Right. That's what guys are asking for pictures of the mother.
No, that's a whole different... No, what is the child? Okay, let's go right there. Okay, pasuk yud beis oizen shemas va'ayin roa Hashem osa gam shenehem. Now this the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos obviously took this pasuk and transmogrified it for an entirely different purpose to refer to Hashem. Ayin roa v'ozen shamas v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtovim. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos. Now in that context, whose eye? It's Hashem's eye. Whose ear? Hashem's ear. However, that's not, then obviously, if I'm not mistaken, it's taken from this pasuk. That Mishnah Pirkei Avos we borrow this pasuk, but that's not what it means here in this pasuk. In this pasuk, according to at least the similar interpretation, the ayin and the ozen. By the way, it's in the reverse order also. Here it's reverse, so it's Oizen Shemas and Ayin Ro'ah. And the Pirkei Avos is just the opposite. Maybe that's why, because over here the pasuk refers to a human being. The ear of a human being hears, and the eye of a human being sees, and a person should recognize that this koyach, this gift of sight, and hearing is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Yibes. Oizen Shemas Ratzlamer Guf Oizen. The Guf Oizen means the physical ear and its koach, its supernatural power that cannot be touched. That's just a gift that it works. The Guf Oizen V'chush, the sense. The sense of HaShema. Shema means hearing. Asher he shemas, it hears. V'chein guf ha'ayim, the physical matter that makes up the human eye. V'chush ha'ri'ah, and the miraculous sense that the eye sees things. Asher hu roya. Ha'loi Hashem bara gam shenehem. Ha'gufim. Now here he says something very, very fascinating. The word shenehem. The word Shem is similar to what it says in the previous pasuk Yud of Gam Shnehem. Shem, according to the mitzvahs, means Hashem created the physical matter, and Hashem created the sense, the spiritual koyach that operates and that brings a life to these physical matter. Hashem, if he wanted, he could have made the koyach of Ria through an entirely different mechanism, through who knows, some other type of a sensor. Could have put it what? So whatever it is, all different types of ways a person can have the koyach of Riyah. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create the koyach of Riyah through the various parts of the body, the various parts of the eye, and the various parts of the ear. The ear has three parts, the inner ear, the outer ear, the eye is super complex. Whatever it is, Hagam Shnehem, both the guf and the chush. That's how he translates the word Shnehem. Because if you would not see this mitzudos, you would say the word Shnehem goes on the ear and goes on the eye. Hashem created the koyach of the oizen, the koyach of the ayin. No, that's not how he chayit. He chayit just gam shnehem. Hagufim, the physical matter, the hachushim, and the sense. V'chol pol Hashem l'manehu, ula avodoso, and everything Hashem has created is so that we shall use it to serve Hashem. It is for His purpose and for His service. Rashi, Pasuk Yedbeis, oizen shamas v'ayin ro'ah, k'loimar, ma'aseh yadav heim, this koyach that a person has can see, and a person can hear, is the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who chofetz bo izim shemas musar. And here, according to Rashi, Hashem wants a person to use his ear to listen to words of musar, ve'ayin horoyeh es hanolad, and to use the eye to see what's coming. To use the eye in a sense of chokhmah, wisdom, ezehu chokham horoyeh es hanolad. Rashi obviously is adding a lot of flavor into this pasuk. Now there is over here. Okay, there's a very elaborate medrash, but to make the medrash short, let me just first start off with a tanchuma. What? First, let's start with tanchuma. Tanchuma says, why did Shlomo HaMelech only focus in this pasuk specifically on the eye and the ear? There are many senses. What about sense of feel, the hands and the feet, the koyach of the raglayim, and what about smell, and what about taste, all of these other things? So it basically says, the Medrash says, because all of those things a person is in control. Don't, if something is forbidden to touch, don't touch it. If you're not allowed to touch something, so who told you to touch it? If you're not allowed to smell something, who told you to smell it? If you're not allowed to go somewhere, don't what? Don't go. Okay, smell, but sight and hearing relative to everything else is not in your control. Those are like the radar. Whether you like it or not, you're going to be hearing things and you're going to be seeing things. Smell also, smell, I guess not to the same degree. Smell, what? What was our side? You can see very far away. Hear the sound, the coil you can hear from is sound travels great distances. But smell is something that is more physical. It comes from a physical source. As a physical source, it radiates, and you have to go. It's limited in its distance. So these are things that a person has limited control relative to the other senses. Is much more limited control, and therefore he's not fully responsible for everything that his eyes come in contact with and everything that he hears. But he has a greater obligation to react in a proper way when he sees and hears things that are not in line with the Torah way. That's what the Medrash, I'll read the words in the Tanchuma, Mor Rosh Shlomo Adam Mekein, Kikol Lakof, Lo Yasso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem and everything. I mean, Hashem made these things. Osso Gam Shenehem, which simply means Hashem only made the eye. We'll learn according to Pashashat, not like the Mesudas. Hashem made the ear and Hashem made the eye. Hashem didn't make the feet. Hashem didn't make the nose. Hashem didn't make the tongue. So what does it mean then? Ella kol hoyvarim shaladam asidim liten din. All the other limbs of a man will have to give din v'cheshbin. Why did you go there? Why did you eat that? Why did you touch that? Why did you do this? But chutz mina oizen mina ayin. They always have an easy excuse. Lama. El ha'ayin hazor roesh shloi b'toyva as adam. It's not in my control. I walk in the street. It's not my fault that I saw that. No, eizen shamash shloi b'toyva as adam. Aval hayadayim, but the hands, it's one example, in a rights, and a goinif. If you don't want, who told you to take someone else's money? Who told you to take someone else's money? And there are glayim, kach, lama, that's why dafka, these two things. Okay, then, okay, that's the Tanchuma, and that really explains Pashut Pshat in this Pasuk, telling us these two things are different relative to the other types of Ivar. However, that is a massively long Medrash, also Tanchuma, and real Tanchuma, which says Kemar just the opposite. Okay, and the way it begins is Tanchuma Miketz, Parshas Miketz. Well, what does it relate to? I have no idea what happened in Parshas Miketz. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe we'll come out over here. But this Tanchuma says Kemar just the opposite. Let's see what it says. I'll read you a couple of sentences. Mahu, what does it mean over here in this passage when it says over here that the ear hears? So it's Ella ki atamot se gimel devarim bara hakadosh baruch hu berushusai shel adam ushloisha einam berushusai. Here it expands the list from two in the pasuk to a total of six, and in the six there are three which are under your control, and there are three that are not under your control. Halalu berushus shel adam. Now, what are they under your control? Three things: the yadayim, the pair, and the raglayim. They're totally under your control. Okay, then he goes further. Okay, let's just skip all this section. And there are three that are not under your control are the einayim, the oznayim, and the nose, the chaytem, the chush harayach. Okay, obviously the Medrash is not in line with this pasuk, because this pasuk is only discussing two, and here it says there are really three. Okay, the simple answer is that even with that category of three, these two are in a different category. They are less under your control. What?
What do you do with the einayim? You're supposed to learn.
Yeah.
The chaytem, there's nothing that you can do really.
The chaytem is nothing, no mitzvah to do with the chaytem?
There is, you can make a bracha on that, but there really is no mitzvah.
It's not, okay, it's a different approach. Okay, and then there's another idea of there's nothing really positive to do with them. Rashi's coming to address that the ear is meant to listen to divrei musar, and the eyes are meant to haroya es hanoylan, whatever it represents. But the nose, it's just a bonus. The sense of smell is a bonus, which is, what?
Depends where you are.
Well, look, we learned in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that Mavusam on Yom Tov is Aser. Why? It's not a Dover Hashavah L'chol Nefesh. So you see, Mamish in Halacha. In Halacha, the Koyach HaReach is not a Dover Hashavah L'chol Nefesh. Okay, but so he's giving over these three. Now, then he goes on, okay, he discusses all different things, and then he goes on to say, at the end, he says, even though it's really true that it's not in your power, your feet, and your hands, and your peh are under your control, you should be aware that even those are not under your control, because Hashem will get you where you need to be. Hashem will cause your feet to travel to a place that you need to be. Hashem will cause your hands to go to do things that you need to do, and Hashem will cause you to say things that you need to say. Hashem at times controls. Now, where do we find this example? So he gives them examples. First example he gives is, I give us an example, Yirmiya, Omar Le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Yirmiya, Al Toimar Nar Anochi, don't say that I'm a Nar. And Hashem recruited Yirmiya to be a prophet, and Yirmiya vehemently refused to be Hashem's servant. And Hashem said, I'm not giving you a choice. This is not like Moshe Rabbeinu. You have no choice here. You've been drafted. And Hashem said to him, the pasuk in Yirmiyah Perek Aleph pasuk Dal Vavav, Al Toma Naranochi Ki Al Kol Asher Esh Lochacha Teleich. Wherever I send you, you're gonna go. You have no choice. What do you mean I have no choice? The feet are under my control. Ruba de ruba, the feet are under your control, but sometimes even your feet are not under your control. When Hashem tells you have no choice, Eis Kol Asher At Savicha Tadaber. And furthermore, the pe also, whatever I tell you to say, you're going to say. Okay, the other examples he gives, Me Hashem mitzadei gavur. We have also a pasuk later on in this parak, in fact, coming up soon. Me Hashem mitzadei gavur. From Hashem comes the steps of man. We say every day one of the Birchas Hashachar. Hamechin mitzadei gavur. Hashem sends you where you need to be. Okay, the pair, we find Bilam. Bilam tried to curse Klal Yisrael. What came out of his mouth? He said mamash the greatest brachas. He didn't want to say the greatest brachas. That was not his kavana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times controls a person's koyach hadibur. And what about a person's hands? So there, this, I don't really understand the full depth of this medrash, but he's referring to the ma'isa with Yeravam ben Nevat. When Yeravam ben Nevat said, Yeravam ben Nevat, when he made the mizbeach, when he took away when he cut off the malchus from Rechavam and he split Klal Yisrael into two groups, he met Idoi Hanavi, and Idoi Hanavi said, "How dare you do what you're doing? The day will come when they will burn your bones on this mizbeach." So Yeravam ben Nevat, he said to Ido Hanavi, "Don't start up with me. Don't go tell me a prophecy that the day will come when they'll dig up my body, my bones, and they'll burn it on my very own mizbeach that I'm making now to break away from Rechavam. Don't shepherd me. I'll harm you." So the pasuk says, "Vayishlach Yeravam es yado me'al hamizbeach lemar tifsuhu." He told his people, his followers, he picked up his hands. Get that guy. Idoi Hanavi, grab him. Grab him and let's kill him. And when he lifted out his hand to do that, to send off his hands, a miracle happened. Vativash yodoi asher sholach Allah v'lo yochel l'hashiva elof. His hand froze. His hand froze. A miracle happened. He couldn't move his hand. And then he begged, Idoi Hanavi, please heal me. Do something to heal me. And Vayan Hamelech Vayomer Elish Elokim Chalno, I beg of you, pray and please. Espnei Hashem Elokecha Vespalu Baadi Vesoshem Yodi Eloi Vayichal Ish Elokim El Hashem. So Idoi Hanavi had Rachmanes on Yeravam. He was Mespalel Vatoshav Yad Hamelech Elov Atik Chavari Shoyna, and it returned. So here the Medrash says, here you find the case where you think your hand is in control. You think you have a koyach of operating your hand. When Hashem doesn't want your hand to work, the hand won't work. So even though generally there are three things that are in a person's control, even that we have to realize is not always correct, there are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away our koyachos as well. He gets us where we need to be. He prevents us from doing things that we should not be doing. And he causes us to say things that we would otherwise not say. Every single person, you have to realize, the same way from Bilam, you find yourself slipping. You're saying things that I can't believe I said it. It's on tape. I really said that. I've had that sometimes. Even though kimat, no one listens to these shiurim, I get kimat. The traffic is kimat zibin. But it's funny, even the one or two people that accidentally stumble upon it, and they say to me, "I heard you said this and this." I said, "I really said that? I really said that? I don't believe you. Yeah, you really said that." Okay, one person said, he listened to me, you could do a psychoanalysis on me. All the bizarre things that come out of my mouth. Okay, let's go further.
We say, "Ani Yom Narem,
Oh, Akmi Akim Yashem. It's part of the Eichila that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comes eloquence of speech. It's a gift. It's a, we actually mispalel pischein peh lemayach pischein peh lemayachal limloch. In how does it go? Simchol yatzecha v'sas lirecha v'tzmichas ker levedadecha v'richas nel v'yisham shichecha. No, that's before. Okay, one of the parts of the famous parts is article translates pischein peh as eloquent speech. Is that really what it means? Eloquent speech, pischein peh? Not necessarily. And I think they translated eloquent speech. All right. But there's no question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a person to koyach hadibur. Pasik yud gimel. Al tehav sheina pen tivresh. Do not love to sleep, because if you love sleep, you will be impoverished. Pekach enecha open up your eyes, siva, satisfy yourself with lochem, with bread. Let's see the Mitzvah Pasuk Yedgilu Pentivarish. If you sleep too much, if you press that snooze button more and more, it's tivarish. You'll be impoverished. Impoverished from what? Ki be'es hashena tibatel min amalachi batel mulacha. Yeah. Stop before unemployed. I once heard about Bali Musa. The Bali Musa say that the whole concept of a snooze button is mamish keneged kol atarakula. It's keneged kol atarakula. It's the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Yiskaber kari la'avoy da'asbora. The first halacha. Shvisi Hashem negli tami, the first halacha. And there was once a person that was the only thing he did. That's the only thing he found in Shulchan Aruch. He didn't learn, he didn't daven, but one thing he did every morning, it was Yiskaber Kari. So they asked the instant, there's a whole Shulchan Aruch and nothing you do, you're a ganav, you're a tzeach, you do. So what's the pshat? You machbid on this halacha. When I come to Shemayim, there's going to be a din. There's going to be a din v'cheshbon, and they're going to open up the Shulchan Aruch, and they're going to go simin by simin. I know when I'm going to fit every single simin Shulchan Aruch, they're going to get me. But at least I don't want them to get me on the first one. On the first simin. The first simon I'm going to pass. That's more than most people. More than most people. But that's the Iskabe Kari Levadis Barei. A snooze button. What?
Snooze you lose.
A snooze, every single alarm clock. Beli Yoytse Min HaKlal. Has a snooze button. It's Kshinege Shulchan Aruch. They should have good kosher alarm clocks. No snooze button. There's no snooze mechanism. The alarm clock put it on the Flavish. The alarm clock for the Ben Torah. There's no Yetzahara.
It goes up at 10 o'clock.
It doesn't work before 10 o'clock. There's no setting. There's no setting. Altev Shem do not love sleep. Pentivor should be impoverished. Pekach inecho v'shvatov. Back to the mitzudos. Pekach pesach inecho in your eyes. Lemaid besegira senayim. Open up your eyes to diminish the closing of your eyes. Beshena in sleep. Yos tispa lochem. Then you'll be satisfied with bread. V'nemar lemoshal.
Snooze button is not for his wife.
Okay. It's for his wife. So v'nir v'oz tisba lechem v'nemar l'moshol esekatar. So he right away is quoting what really Rashi says. Rashi, look at Rashi, pasuk yibes, altev shena, pentivoresh, kisaser, Rashi become poor. And what's the poverty? Oh, I thought it was Rashi. It's not Rashi. The poor of lechem is Torah. L'chu lachamu belachmi. L'chu lachamu belachmi is a reference to the words of Torah. That's really what it says in the Tana. It says that in the Tana, debay Eliyahu Zuta. Okay, I'll read the Medrash. Mahu tzva lechem ein lechem ala Torah divrei Torah. Shneimar l'chu lachamu belachmi v'oimer Hashem Elokim nosan l'shon l'mudim l'das luf. Okay, this means to learn Torah. And this over here is telling you, Merdeki Yisod, is that the best learning you can possibly do is the learning before davening. It's a whole different day. You learn before davening. If you don't love to sleep and you get up and tivarish, you don't want to become impoverished in divrei Torah, and you open up your eyes early and you satisfy yourself with lechem, this is, it's an entirely different life. There was a zaken when I was in Chaim Berlin, there was an elderly person, I used to say brachas for him, and he wanted to always answer amen to brachas. So he always would tell me the vart, he would tell me the following vart, that it says, a gemar baba basra, if a person buys a field, he told me this vart in the name of Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. This person was always from the house, his name was Rabbi Moteshin. Rabbi Irving Moteshin. There were three Moteshin brothers. One Moteshin was a member, but my father, and Yom Yisrael Avinu Jay, that was Nassim Moteshin. Yes, they were both Shechtim. There was a third brother. I don't know who the third brother was. Kobe, he was very close to Rav Pavi. He was a Rebbe. He was a Shechtim for many years, and he learned in Torah Vidas by Hyman. What's the first name of Hyman? What's Rav Hyman's first name? What? Shlomo Hyman. Shlomo Hyman. In fact, he had a picture in a sitter. He showed me a sitter. In a sitter on the front page, he pasted the picture of Shlomo Hyman in his sitter. Shlomo Hyman was Mamish the Rebbeinu Shalom. And he was there also. Rav Shlomo Hyman Lubavitch was his hero. And he came to Torah Vadas when he was a young man, a child. And one day he came late. He came late to davening in the Torah Vadas. And Rav Shagafayim Mendelovich came to him and said to him the following vart. And he never forgot this his entire life. And he told this to me at least 20 times. It says in the Gemara Bava Basra, if you buy a sodeh, you buy a field, and now you find in the field, you discover that it's not, that there are sections that are full of stones, boulders. Is that the right word? Boulders? Is that right? They're boulders. They're large stones in the middle of the field. So now the buyer goes to the seller and says, "Mekachtos, I gave you $1,000 and the field is defective. That's not what I bargained for. There are boulders. I can't plant the entire field." So the Gemara says, so they go to a Beis Din. Is it a Mekachtos? Is it not a Mekachtos? What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, it depends where the stones are. If the stones are in the middle of the field, so then, Kana, it's a good mekach. The bar has no right to say, "I want my money back." But umachzir oino, the buyer is entitled to get a partial refund. If a good field is worth $1,000 and a field that has stones is worth $900, the buyer is entitled to get back $100. But if those boulders are in the techilas hasadeh, in the beginning of the field, they're already stones in the haschala, then it's a mekachtos. Then you get a full refund, you get back your $1,000. So Shagafal Menlover says, this Gemara is a marshal for every person's seder hayom. If every person, you go through the day, and in the middle of the day, there are boulders, there are big stones, and you get stuck, you can't proceed, no, it's a good day. Kana, it's a good day. Umachzeroina, the small few, no, so you'll get a refund, so that part of the day won't go on the cheshbon, but it's a good day, the day counts. But if you already have impediments, you have boulders, in the techila sasadeh, the beginning of the day, the whole day is down the drain. Then it's a nekachtos to begin with. So he said, that's Rav Shaif Alto told him, if you're not going to come early, you're going to come on time for davening, then it's a tchilas hasadeh, the whole day is down the drain. It made such an impression on him, this Gemara, that for the rest of his life, he was always on the asara rishonim. I knew when he was nifter, he must have been in his upper 80s when he was nifter. What? The stones in the back of the field, what do you mean?
Then he didn't get a chance to see it.
Also, I guess it means deep, maybe underneath the ground, whatever the case is, they have to look at the Gemara. I guess underneath three tefachim. On the surface, it looks good. On the surface, the stones, let's say, three tefachim below the ground. When you take the plow gets stuck right away. You didn't realize. So it's you can't even get a haschala. So this is the mashal, and you know, it's really, really true. This idea of getting up early to daven. I remember a pam by the Sim Hashas. It was already two times ago. He actually, so this is the main thrust of his drush is that he was talking about people who learn Daf Yomi before davening. Many people learn Daf Yomi at night, in the afternoon, during lunch, whatever it is. But he was focusing on people that learn Daf Yomi before davening, and he's saying, you learn Daf Yomi before davening, it's a whole different day. It's not just that 1 hour, it's a whole day. And the whole day is a different day, the whole life is a different life. And all that comes from people who are able to take this pasuk and really live this pasuk, al tehav shena, don't love sleep. If you love sleep, then you'll go through a whole life, you'll become poor, tivorish, be impoverished. Shabbos is a little bit later. I tell you, you know, it's all the shuls that I go to where they have a shir before davening. It's a whole different, it creates a whole entirely different impression. Like, you know, my father, Zichron Levrach, used to give a shir on Shabbos before davening. So you come to shul, there was a shir, and the shir led into the davening. It was a whole different davening. You go to a shul, what?
Not the largest group.
Even a small group, it sets a tone.
Yes.
Right, daven on Shabbos, I'm very, very chosh with dafyomi, I'm a dafyomi. I daven on Shabbos often or Yitzchak. So there the Rashiva, Rabbi Shmuel Wallace, and he gives a very chosh with dafyomi, there's a nice crowd. You walk in before davening. it's a whole different environment. There's a whole different environment of learning, and that leads into the davening. And when there's no, when you just start, okay, let's all go for brachas, it's a whole different, even in the environment, alachas kavakam, how much it creates for yourself to learn before davening.
You talk about davening in the middle of the night as being the best. You have to daven at night. I mean, study at night.
Oh, so there are different times. They're mindless. They're mindless. Ain of them kind of roiv chachmasay ella balayla. A person's mind, your mind, you warm up. It takes a whole day for your mind to warm up, to accelerate, and then at night you're able to accomplish a lot more than you could accomplish during the day. That's not true for everyone. Some people it's just the opposite. Everyone is different, but there are different types of people. Okay, let's go to pasuk. Pasuk that is the pasuk Yudal. Ra ra yoimar hakoine v'oizel lo ozi halol. Now this is a very very difficult pasuk. Let's right away jump to the mesudas pasuk. How he translates it's ra ra yoimar hakoine derech hakoine chokma sater. So right away in terms of reference to Torah, the person who acquires the words of Torah mitoch tsar v'doichek asher yisrahim. Oz al koshi hadoichik, due to the pain and difficulty which he complains, oz on his situation, ulom leachar ze, even though it's very hard, but later in life, the oizelo, when he leaves this world, he'll look back and reflect, it was worth it. It was all worth the evil that he endured in order to come away with the greater good of chokhma. Ulam, however, la'achar zeh, meaning in the next world, yishalel be'atzmo, he will praise himself, al hatzar shesaval, ki lufum tzar, according to the pain, agro is reward. No pain, no gain. That's really a synopsis of this pasuk according to the interpretation of the mitzvah. Three of those words we want to talk about the mitzvah. It's a very important pasuk. Derech hakoyne chokhmas haTorah. The subject is acquisition of Torah knowledge. In this world, that's the way it is. There's no glory, and there's certainly no money. That I can tell you for sure. There's no money in studying Torah. It's a dead end. There's no money in learning Torah. Derech hakoyne chokhmas haTorah mitoch tsar v'doichik. The tsar and the pressure. Asher Yisraim. People complain. You always hear B'nai Torah. That's how it is. That's the way Hashem made it. There's no solution. No matter what you're going to people, they're going to find solutions. None of these solutions, like the Chazal say, Pasuk says, Ki lo yechtal evyon mikeref haaretz. To try to create a economic system where there will be no such thing as evyon, you're going against the Torah. Don't aim for, I mean, you have to do the best you can. Communism, socialism, what? It's natural. Well, communism and socialism, that's that was the goal. The goal is there shouldn't be an Evyon. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what the whole...
classless society.
You go through the entire study history. That there, many governments have tried. Capitalism, no. Capitalism allows for an Evyon. If you work, you'll be rich. If you don't want to work, you'll be an Evyon. And always people don't work, and there's no safety net. Baruch Hashem, we live in a culture... The world already has welfare, okay, but that's not al-chatchila. That's built on the system of your failure. So if you're a failure, okay, so maybe we'll do chesed with you. But ki lo yechtal evyoin mikeref haaretz. It's a very powerful pasuk. There will always be poor people, whether you like it or not, and you can't avoid that situation. That's the way. That's built into the fabric, the DNA of this world. And similarly, it's built into the DNA of this world. During the Korban, after, is that learning Torah automatically means you're not going to have parnasa. And people are trying to create systems where it's going to work. Okay, you're trying very hard. I mean, this is a major struggle. And the balance, you have to learn Torah. That has to be the ikkar. But if you're going to learn Torah, there's no parnasa. So only have parnasa. If there's only parnasa, then there's not going to be Torah. Where do you draw the line? Where's the proper balance? Impossible solution. Impossible to find the proper balance. Every person is different. Every segment of Klal Yisrael is struggling for life with this issue. But the problem will start because the mitzvah is the more you learn Torah, the more you're going to find yourself in a situation where you're not going to have parnasa. And that's what it says here. Ra ra yoimar hakoine. What more do you want him to say? The one that's trying to acquire Chochmas HaTorah will say twice, Ra-Ra! It's evil. I'm suffering. I don't have parnasa. Bushu chlima. I can't survive. But the oizelo, Shlomo HaMelech is giving him a bracha. The day will come when you'll look back and you'll say to yourself, when the oizel you'll pass from this matzav of ra ra, you'll say oz yishalol. You'll praise yourself. You'll be very happy with yourself that you'll have at least, you'll have taken with you from this world a real kinyan in this world. That's what it says. Derech ha'koyin ha'chokmas ha'ter mituch tzar v'doich v'asher yishraim oz al kushy ha'doichik. He complains over his difficult situation. Ulam la'achar zeh yishalol b'yatzma la'tzar sh'sov al kin lifum tzar agra. Okay, Rashi says, Pasuk Yudalad, ra'ra yim ha'koyin ha'koyin ha'toyre, adi ha'tchak, the surei ravon and the suffering of starvation, pangs of starvation, that's pretty serious stuff. Oimer, oily, woe to me, al ro zos, the hatzara hazos, and the feral hatzara, uchshoholech loy. But when he goes away, what that means exactly means in this world or the next, I'm not sure, in the next world, mole chokhma, but when he leaves this world, mole chokhma, oz yishalol al atzar, he will praise himself over the atzar, shehid, shenitz, da'er, that he pained himself. The oizelo means halachlo when he leaves this world. Okay, what is it in Eicher Abasi? I have a little bit of a medrash. Who's the one who says this is ta'ataka? Ruim hadvarim lemisha omram Rashbi. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai lived in a cave on water and carob. He was so poor, he took off his clothing. He buried himself in sand. And he interpreted this pasuk to mean, this is a different interpretation, but he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu Koyre Osam Royim. The Kavan Shagolu Hishil Mashabcham the Oizalo Oz Yishalo. So here, I'm sorry, this is a whole different interpretation of Rabbi Yossi saying a very interesting pshat, is that when Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, when they were there before the Chorban, Hashem was bitter. Hashem was complaining. The koine here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to this medrash, the subject is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Avram Lekel Elyoin Koinei Shamayim Va'aretz. The Koinei HaKol, we say every day in Shemona Esra, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kel Elyon, he's Koinei HaKol, he creates everything. When we were living in Eretz Yisrael, and we were worshipping idols, and doing all of the Averos, Hashem was very angry at us, and he called us Ra. And there are many psukim in Tanakh, where we find a Kadosh Baruch Hu complaining, Ha'om, Ha'ro, Hazeh, Hamoznayim, who refused Lishmoya es divar. That's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu and Perek Gimel. Hashem said about Klal Yisrael, these people are evil. They are evil. They are doing. They refuse to listen to me. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to us? He sent us into exile. And that's what the pasuk, the oizel lo. We were exiled. We went on our merry way. And then when we were in Golis, and we do tshuva, Oz Yishalol, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is singing a new song. Hashem praises us that despite the difficulties we endure in Golis, we are great people. Now Hashem praises us. So this is another interpretation of the pasuk. Okay, with that we will conclude.